Welcome. You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is a syndicated show produced in the studios of CJSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
You know, if you hear that Argentina has defaulted, well, one can think, after all, this is just an underdeveloped country. But, I mean, we're talking here about the same situation happening in Greece, potentially in Portugal, in Ireland, in Spain, in Italy, and then further down the line in France and in Britain and in Germany, even where the economy is also entering into recession. So this is the only thing that capitalism can offer working people these days, and this is why there is a widespread movement of revolt and revulsion against it.
That's the voice of Jorge Martin, Secretariat of Hands Off Venezuela. On this week's show, we speak to Jorge about the ongoing austerity in places like Greece and Spain, and how this austerity has been a dismal failure, making the situation worse, and what should be the response from workers. Stay tuned.
Jorge Martin is the Secretariat of Hands Off Venezuela. We reach him in England. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
You know, when I think about the voices that are missed, right, in this now militant religion of austerity, you know, the voices of those who are displaced, who lose their job to privatization, who lose their pensions through, you know, cuts, those are the voices that we never hear. And so tell us, what is happening in Europe? Because you've been following closely the story of Greece in particularly, and the movements for solidarity throughout Europe, you know, as we realize we're all Greek now. This is our struggle too.
Yes, it has reached the point after maybe 2 years of struggle in Greece, 5 years of recession, that now the eyes of everyone in Europe, at least, and probably further afield, are centered in what's happening in Greece, because really the austerity cuts that have been imposed on the Greek people and the Greek workers are without precedent. And not only this, it's also a question that these policies have been now implemented for 3 years. They have not only not worked, but they have made the situation much worse. I mean, after four straight years of recession, Greece is going to be in recession again this year. It was originally forecasted to be a drop in the economy of 3%. It's now going to be 4.5%. But I think that these figures are optimistic, that the drop is going to be more like 6 or 7%. And as you say, we sometimes hear about the figures and the facts and debt to GDP ratio and all these things, but we don't hear about the real impact on ordinary working people that these measures are having. And it's really brutal. In Greece now, there's tens of thousands of people who have lost their homes. These are people who only yesterday they had a roof over their head, they had a secure, more or less secure job, and they could get by. They're now living on the streets. Some of them, for instance, it's been revealed, they now take the free shuttle bus to the airport so that they can spend the night with a roof over their heads. And the personnel who work at the airport, they say that most of the times they can't identify them, they can't tell them apart from ordinary passengers, because they're not long-term homeless, that where the scars of homelessness and unemployment and poverty are visible. They're just normal people who maybe even in the morning they go and try to find a job, and they're just staying there in the airport. Or there's other people, for instance, in the health sector. The workers have now been incorporated into a unified payroll for all public sector workers, which means that their wages have been cut by 20%. But this measure has been taken retroactively. This means that at the beginning of February, the wages were cut, and all the money they had received, in inverted commas, in excess, in the months of December and January was cut from the February wages. This meant that some workers received no wages in February. So some received 10 euros, some received 20 euros. And they have to get by for a whole month with that money. This has created a situation, an extreme situation. Children who are going hungry to school, some schools having to distribute free meals because people can't concentrate. And it's really terrible. People are fighting back. They are resisting, and they are quite clear that they're not in favor of any of this. For instance, hospital workers in the north of the country, in Kilkis, they have taken over the general hospital in Kilkis, and they are running it under workers' control. They said that, look, we're still going to be visiting patients and performing operations and so on, but we basically taken over. We can't stand this anymore, people not getting their wages and so on. And the latest round of measures that was passed last week is so brutal. For instance, the minimum wage is going to be cut by 20%. But because all wages in the private sector are calculated on the basis of the minimum wage, this means a general drop of wages in the private sector by 20%. For young people under 25, the cut is going to be by 32%. So you have a country like Greece where prices, basic products, are European prices, more or less the same prices that you can find in France or in Spain or in Britain, but wages are now going to be, the minimum wage is now going to be around 400 euro a month. People just simply cannot survive on those basis. And this is not even the end of it, because more cuts and austerity will be demanded. And all for what reason? The only reason that all this pain is being inflicted on the Greek people is so that bankers and investors can get their money back. So really the situation is very extreme. But it's not just Greece. Greece is the most advanced situation in Europe from the point of view that the economic crisis is deeper and the class struggle has acquired a more acute form. But Portugal is just maybe 6 or 12 months behind Greece. Same type of measures have started to be implemented in Portugal. Spain is maybe 12, 18 months behind Greece. Same with Italy. Similar measures are being implemented in all these countries. It's really a race to the bottom, where the only way they can see the capitalists of getting out of the crisis is by cutting public sector benefits and social services and private sector wages and conditions down to the bone in order to be more competitive than other countries. But this race to the bottom has no floor. It will go down and down and further down until the working people manage to stop this. For this reason, as you were saying, there's now been the beginning of a big solidarity movement with the Greek people. This coming week, on the 29th of February, there is a general strike in Greece, and at the same time, there's going to be big mobilizations called by the trade unions in all European countries. I think that this is not enough, but it is a good beginning. And in a whole number of other countries, like in Spain, in Portugal, in Italy, there's been big movements, general strikes, mass demonstrations, people resisting cuts in any way they can, because what's coming is really terrible.
Well, I wanted to talk about that because there was over half a million people demonstrating in Spain only last weekend. And, you know, when we think about the trend, right, it seems like Greece, which 2-3 years ago was considered a country that was developed, right? We're always told that there is inequality and poverty in countries, the global south, because they're not developed. They don't have the technology. But this is Europe, you know. Yes. Europe is supposed to be this post-industrial continent. And it seems to me they're committing economic suicide, imposing these kinds of austerity measures that would undermine their own economy. Can you talk about the impact that this has on the political level? Because it seems to me it's a trend that's taken place in many places in the States.
Yes.
As it disenfranchises the workers from the political system, right?
Yes. I mean, what's happening really is that these economic measures, they are necessary from a capitalist point of view in order to pay back the debt that the states have accumulated and the banks have accumulated and so on, which was the basis of the previous economic growth. But at the same time, even from a capitalist point of view, these measures are making the situation worse. Because if you have a situation like Greece or Portugal, say, where the state is highly indebted with private investors, and you implement massive austerity cuts, these austerity cuts, increases in taxation and so on, what the immediate result of these measures is to decrease the living standards and purchasing power of the general public. So the economy goes further down. As the economy goes further down, the burden on the state is bigger because there's less income from taxation and there's more expenditure in unemployment benefit and other social services that are necessary in times of crisis. So this only makes the situation worse and makes the state debt worse. I mean, Greece had a debt-to-GDP ratio of 120% 3 years ago in 2009. And the debt-to-GDP ratio is now 169%. So it's gone up, and there's no growth, no jobs have been created. On the contrary, tens of thousands have been destroyed. In the political front, this has had a big impact, I would say, on two levels. On the one hand, all the political parties that have implemented these measures, be they social democratic parties, like in Spain, the Socialist Party before the current government, in Portugal, the Socialist Party that was in power just a year ago, in Greece, the PASOK, which is a social democratic party, all they have been completely discredited in the eyes of the working people who voted for them in the past. But also right-wing parties that are carrying out these policies are also widely discredited. In Greece, for instance, the ruling party, PASOK, which had 44% of the votes in the 2009 election, is now down to 8% in the opinion polls, and the New Democracy, the main right-wing party, which had 37%, is down to 20-something%. So these parties have been massively discredited. There's been an increase in the vote and on the opinion polls for all the left parties, like for instance United Left in Spain, the Communist Party, and the Coalition of the Radical Left in Greece. Together, the parties to the left of social democracy in Greece now represent nearly 40% of the votes in the opinion polls. Even though I will say that the leadership of these parties is very shy and they have not provided a serious alternative. But at the same time, there is another phenomenon, which is a discrediting of bourgeois politics as a whole. Because, I mean, bourgeois democracy is supposed to be based on the idea that you can vote for different parties that carry out different policies. But for instance, in Greece, the people haven't been given the right to vote for anybody. The new prime minister, Papadimos, is a technocrat, which has been imposed by the European Commission, the IMF, and the Greek people haven't even been consulted. In Italy, it's the same thing. They removed Berlusconi, which was a right-wing populist politician, but at least he'd been elected in the polls. And they put this other guy, Monti, who is a former Goldman Sachs executive in Europe, and he's now ruling the country. Nobody has elected him. So there is a serious crisis of legitimacy. And in fact, in Greece, there's a lot of pressure that the elections that are supposed to be coming up in April are cancelled or delayed for 1 year, because the capitalists, the IMF, the European Central Bank, and the European Commission, and the Greek capitalists, they know that they will not get a result that will satisfy the demands of the markets. They will get a result, coalition probably, of the left that is against these austerity measures. It's not very clear what their alternative is, but at least they are against these policies that are being implemented. So because they don't like the result that they will likely get, they are talking about cancelling the elections. This is completely scandalous. What it means is that in times of acute crisis of capitalism, the capitalist democracy is no longer able to contain or to provide the results that the capitalists want, and then therefore they move to something else, technocratic governments and delaying elections and imposing measures and so on. In Greece, for instance, they now made the two main parties sign this memorandum with the Troika, the IMF, European Central Bank, and the European Commission, that these measures of austerity will be implemented after the election, whoever wins. Some of the measures, some of the policies are now to be put inside the Constitution so that they cannot be changed by any government that is elected. And this is completely outrageous. The people of Greece are not going to stand for this anymore. The people of Portugal had a massive demonstration, 500,000 people, 2 weeks ago. In Spain, there were 2 million people on the streets on the 19th of February against the reform of the labor laws. And there is now, as we talk, a massive uprising of the student youth in Valencia, which has been the subject of heavy police repression. So people are fighting back. Not with a very clear alternative, not with a very clear worked-out movement, but at least it's a basic movement of resistance against these measures that are destroying the livelihoods of millions of people. You have to think that, for instance, in Spain in 2009, unemployment was under 2 million and is now over 5 million. This means 3 million people have lost their jobs. Hundreds of thousands have lost their homes, been repossessed by the banks. The impact of the crisis is brutal. I mean, there's thousands of high schools in Spain that have no heating. They have no money to pay for heating for the winter. Some of them have had the electricity cut off because they couldn't pay for the two electricity bills in a row. The other day in Madrid, a school that was heavily in debt because they're not receiving money from the state anymore or enough money. This is a public state-run school. They had the tables, the chairs, and everything repossessed by the bailiffs that went into the school as the students were receiving their lessons. So this is the acute character of the situation. As you say, this is happening in Europe. It's happening at the heart of a capitalist system. You know, if you hear that Argentina has defaulted, well, one can think, after all, this is just an underdeveloped country. But, I mean, we're talking here about the same situation happening in Greece, potentially in Portugal, in Ireland, in Spain, in Italy, and then further down the line in France and in Britain and in Germany, even where the economy is also entering into recession. So this is the only thing that capitalism can offer working people these days, and this is why there is a widespread movement of revolt and revulsion against it.
Thank you so much for joining us. I think it's important to not only recognize that this is a global struggle, you know, of people, working people, and just people who want to survive, you know, against the system itself, because it can only continuously reproduce the crisis, right? There is no talk about the cost overruns of imposing an Olympics, you know, in Greece in 2004. There's no talk about the imposed, taxation on the population when you force them to buy more military equipment from the U.S. or from England. You know, there's none of those things are discussed, right? And there's no discussion about the debt, which is, you know, mythical in many ways because it is created out of this exacerbated interest rates that are being charged by corrupt banking institutions, in Wall Street. So all of those links, I think, need to be made and connected as we move forward and struggle. For people who are interested in the work of Hands Off Venezuela and why it's important, how can they access your work?
Well, the Hands Off Venezuela campaign, which is going to be very active again this year because there's presidential elections coming up in Venezuela on October the 7th, has a website which is called handsoffvenezuela.org, which anybody can access, where you can find information, background about the revolution and so on. If you remember, actually, the Venezuelan revolution can be traced back to 1989, when a package of austerity measures imposed by the IMF provoked a massive revolt of the people, the Caracazo uprising. And I will say that this is the Caracazo moment in Greece, what is happening now, and in Europe, something that many people never thought possible. At the same time, I'm on the editorial board of the In Defense of Marxism website, marxist.com, where you can also find more in-depth analysis about the situation of the economic crisis of capitalism, what is the alternative, and also the struggle of working people in Greece, in Spain, in Italy, be won. We just had a big victory of the construction workers in Britain, where they wanted to destroy the collective bargaining agreement, and in some cases that would have meant a fall in the wages of building workers by 35%. And through a campaign of wildcat strikes, militant action, official and unofficial action, they managed, after 6 months, they managed to get all the companies respecting the old agreements instead of introducing this new system. So I will say that the struggle pays. But in order to struggle, first of all, we need to understand what we are up against. And it's important to get educated, to find out more about how the capitalist system works and the struggle of working people, what's the experience in other countries, how can struggles be won, what lessons can we learn from other countries' defeats, and so on. So I will say that getting educated about all these things is a very important first step towards taking action and effectively challenging the general situation that we're facing.
Thank you again for being with us this morning.
My pleasure.
In parting, I would like to recognize Jim Green, an iconic Vancouver activist, city councillor for many, spent a lifetime improving the life of the ordinary citizens of Vancouver. His work created literally hundreds of units of social housing in Vancouver's downtown east side, spurred the Woodworth Project, and it's really emblematic of what a citizen should be. Thanks, Jim, for all your hard work over the years. You'll be missed. So I'd like to donate this song to Jim Green. This is David Rovitz. We Are Everyone.
When I say the hungry should have food, I speak for many. When I say no one should have seven homes, while some don't have any. Though I may find myself stranded in some strange place with naught but a vapid stare, I remember the world and I know we are everywhere. I say the time for the rich, it will come. Let me count the ways, victories or hints of the future. Havana, Caracas, Chiapas, Buenos Aires. How many people are wanting and waiting and fighting for their share? They hide in their ivory towers, but we are everywhere. Religions and prisons and races, borders and nations, FBI agents and congressmen and corporate radio stations. They try to keep us apart, but we find each other, and the rulers are always aware that they're a tiny minority, and we are everywhere. With every bomb that they drop, every home they destroy, every land they invade, comes a new generation from under the rubble saying, we are not afraid. They will pretend we are few, but with each child that a billion mothers bear, comes the next demonstration that we are everywhere. We are everywhere. Everywhere.
We have come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is a weekly syndicated program produced and broadcast from the studios of CGSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. The program is available free of charge to campus and community stations across Canada and the U.S. For more information about our work or to support our efforts, please visit our website at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Bye for now.